This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Hello and welcome to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network. Our aim is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host today, Mike Drabenstadt. I'm here with Mike Staggard, who is Senior Director at St. Luke's Fitness and Sports Performance Center, and we're going to be talking today about staying fit as we age into our 50s, 60s, and 70s. Mike, welcome to WDIY and Active Lehigh Valley.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, let's talk first about the case for being fit into our 50s, 60s, and 70s. We know it's important to be active regardless of age, but what makes it even more important as we hit 50?
I think one of the really important things you really need to realize is that our nation is getting older. By 2034, the Census Bureau is predicting that for the first time in American history, that our adult population, 65 plus, will be leading the number of 18 plus kids. So, you know, we're an aging nation, and it's really important to really fit fitness into your daily schedule.
And how about as an individual compared to, you know, when we're in our 20s, 30s, and 40s, sometimes you have that weekend warrior mentality, you just kind of pick something up and start doing it. And, you know, certainly I'm not in my 20s, 30s, and 40s anymore. Things are a little bit different after you kind of get into your 40s and 50s. Kind of, you know, what things are happening in the body and what things do we need to be aware of as we start getting older?
You know, there's a lot of things that are occurring. You know, when you're younger, naturally, you know, you don't really have a family yet at that age of 20. You know, maybe the 30s you start having that family. So you have more time. You know, time seems to be really one of the keys to, you know, your workouts. You know, I hear it all the time that, you know, Mike, I don't have a lot of time to, you know, fit in fitness. So, you know, a lot of times what we try to do is, you know, develop a program around their schedules. You know, as you age into the 50s, you know, your body, your ligaments, your tendons, they, you know, they're not as pliable as they used to be. Your ability to, you know, be mobile is less. I'm 58. I've had arthritis since I was 18. And for me, it's difficult sometimes getting out of bed. So, you know, flexibility as you age, you know, becomes a detriment. You know, you start seeing people having bursitis, tendonitis. So it's really, really important to be active in some way as you get older.
Let's kind of talk about some of the specific things that happen as we age. I mean, you mentioned our ligaments and our joints and our tendons not being as pliable. What happens to our strength over time, and when does that start happening?
So what's really interesting is, you know, there have been lots of studies, and a lot of people feel like, you know, muscle mass is one of the things that you lose most often first. However, really what we're seeing is that people, as they get older, they're actually losing power. Power, if you were to define power, it's, you know, moving an object, but you're moving that object with speed. So time is a factor. So if we take, for instance, someone that's in a chair, and if you can think about a 20 or 30-year-old when they're in the chair, someone says, hey, listen, Billy, come on over here. They're able to get out of that chair with force. They move quickly. Think about that 50, 60, 70-year-old, you know, that same person now at that age, Billy, come on over here. It's taking them a lot longer to get out of that chair. That's power, moving out of that with speed, out of that chair. One of the things that we try to focus in on when you are doing your workouts is to develop power with different types of, you know, mechanics with your workouts.
Now, is there a correlation between the amount of muscle mass and power, or can power be obtained, you know, without, let's say, bulking up or, you know, putting on a whole lot more muscle mass? Is this more of the action than the size?
Correct. So it's a way of training. So we really haven't gotten into that, but you know, there's a difference between strength training, power training, hypertrophy training. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. But when you're talking about power training, we're talking about moving quicker. So a lot of things that are affected are, let's say, your gait. So walking. If you look at someone in their 60s or 70s, they're kind of strutting. They're having a hard time lifting their legs. They're not walking as fast. That is a power move, so gait. and actually there was a study done about 65 plus adults again, and they studied activities of daily living. And what they found was those little activities like walking, writing, lifting 10 pounds, they're having a lot more difficulty. As a matter of fact, I think it was 19% of the men have a difficult time doing one of those activities, and 23% of women have a difficult time doing those activities. Those are power movements. And so, like I said, when you're training, that's something that you want to focus on.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that a little bit later in the episode right here. How about cardiovascular capacity? I know from things I've looked at with running that, the heart rate starts going, the maximum heart rate starts going down after like 35 or so.
Correct.
Right? And what does that do to cardiovascular capacity over time?
So again, I mean, cardiovascular fitness is really, really important. Again, it really depends upon, you know, what the goal is of that person. So, you know, some of my background is in cardiac rehab and pulmonary rehab. So we really focused on the heart and training and heart rate and so on and so forth. Very important, you know, you want to do, you know, 20 to 30 minutes of cardiovascular training. But, you know, as you age, if you are maintaining that regimen, you should be able to maintain, you know, during your length of living, that ability to, you know, run, walk or bicycle. But naturally, at some point, you know, it's going to decrease. You know, the whole thing that we try to do at St. Luke's, our fitness centers, is try to keep people at a level that it's kind of hard to describe, but we have this threshold, a disability threshold that we're trying to keep people away from. And it's through that cardiovascular training and strength and power, hypertrophy training, that we do this to maintain their ability to function.
And I think something that goes along with what we were talking about before with strength and power, imagine related to that is balance and fall prevention,
right.
Which is something you really don't start thinking about until you're in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, and maybe you see a parent fall or you hear about a friend fall, and you don't really realize how much you might have lost over time.
Right. So again, fall prevention is key. Power training, strength training is really important. You know, I go back to that person shuffling, not able to lift their feet. You know, think about that aging person. Their sight a lot of times is deteriorated. Their hearing is not really that good. And a lot of times what that aging adult, you know, does is they actually stop moving. And when they stop moving, they start to deteriorate more. And, you know, they have a fall. Now they're really scared. Now they're really hunkered into that chair. They're not moving. And so it becomes this vicious cycle where their bodies just kind of give up on them. They lose that strength. They lose that power. They lose the mass. You know, it becomes very detrimental to them. And I've seen it many, many times, unfortunately.
And I would also think that spiral downward,
right.
There's a negativity or depression that comes with it. So there's some correlation between your physical state and your mental state as well.
That is correct. So, and it's interesting, they're doing studies now and they're actually studying the brain and strength training, and they're finding that people that strength train as they age actually increase this, it's called BDNF. It's a brain-derived neuromuscular function. And through strength training, they're finding that this increases and it improves their, you know, their depression levels, their anxiety levels, they're feeling better about themselves, you know, so... You know, it's a great sign for improving that strength as you get older.
So you're lifting some weights at the gym or some, you know, small barbells in the basement. Your brain's actually getting a workout, too.
It certainly is. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, you know, barbells. You know, people think of, you know, these big muscle guys doing barbells. We use, you know, leg weights. We use balls. You can use medicine balls. You can use, you know, water bottles, anything that you're moving a resistance.
And then, Mike, finally, we talked, or you just were referring to hearing and sight and things like that. Is there a relationship between sensory capacity and someone's, you know, physical abilities as they start getting older and their ability to move and be active?
Well, I mean, it can definitely, you know, affect your movement patterns. But to see, that's why when people come into our fitness centers, we do an assessment on them first, and we have specific assessments designed for specific individuals. So if I have someone that comes in with pulmonary disease, I'll do a 6-minute walk test. if I have someone that I know has trouble with maybe power, we do a up and go test. We also do a balance test. So we have someone that may have a hearing, you know, impairment or has trouble seeing. We'll test them for their balance doing a one-legged stand. And so all these assessments then are, you know, then utilized to develop that program that's safe. And that's, you know, we'll be able to, you know, help them improve their strength and power as they age.
And so, Mike, before we get into some of what the programs and things that people might want to do, as they start getting into their 50s, 60s, and 70s, I think it's kind of important to reiterate that this is kind of a pivotal time, that 40s and 50s right there is your body naturally starts its decline.
Correct.
To start picking up some of these good habits as opposed to, I mean, there's no bad time to start, right?
No.
But if you delay, in your 20s and 30s and pick it up in your 40s, it might be a little bit easier because your body hasn't declined that much. But if you've been sedentary most of your life and you're kind of looking at, 50, 60 and say, it's time to get going, your body's already taken a little bit of a hit, right?
It has, but I mean, you could still benefit from doing something. And that's the key for anyone is, you need to find something that you enjoy. Whether you go out and take a walk, it doesn't really matter when you start. It's just that you need to start. I hear it all the time, I'm going to start, a month from now. I'm going to start maybe 2 weeks from now. No, start tomorrow. Put it down, set a goal, and do it. It doesn't have to be an hour, 2 hours. Start out with a 10-minute walk and just build yourself up.
That's the key thing also. It's move into it gradually. Even, the weekend warriors of when you're in your 20s and 30s, you pay the price the next day. You pay an even bigger price if your body hasn't moved that much in your 50 and 60 to going out. If you've been a little bit more of a couch potato to go out and walk 4 or 5 miles, you'll be feeling it the next day. It might dissuade you from continuing.
Right. And it's funny you say that because, I've had so many people come into me who had been former athletes or had been your weekend warrior when they were younger. They come into the gym and they want to start working out. And you tell them, listen, start slow. We want to progressively increase your exercise. And then you look over your shoulder and there they are sprinting on the treadmill. And then they come back the next day. Wow, I should have really thought, listen to you because I'm really sore today.
Well, let's talk about what some of those programs look like. You started hinting a little bit as to strength training.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get a little bit more specific about what a program might look like from kind of starting from scratch and moving up and kind of gaining that strength and power.
Right. So to start, you really should, talk to your physician. If you've not been doing any type of activity for within the last 6 months, you should really have that conversation. Hey, listen, I'm thinking about going back into, getting into an exercise program. Do you think this is safe for me? And so on and so forth. After that point, then, when I do my training, when I ever start someone on a training program, I always start with what I call a foundations phase. So we're starting slow. We're starting with maybe 8 to 10 major muscle groups. I'm going to start, having them lift, large muscle groups to smaller muscle groups, maybe one set, two sets, three sets of maybe 10 to 15 repetitions. The weight's going to be light, but just to get them started, just to get them into that routine. And again, it really depends on the individual. It might only start with 2 days. That foundations phase usually lasts for about 3 months. I've had people have to be on that for longer, so it can be 5, 6 months. It really depends upon the individual. Once they've completed that foundations phase, now we're trying to grow the muscle. So now I'm going into what I call the hypertrophy phase. So in the hypertrophy phase now, we're going to add a little bit more weight. We're going to increase the number of sets. We're still going to do, large muscle to small muscle groups, but it's really important that, we're teaching proper technique. They're breathing, appropriately during the exercises. Following the hypertrophy phase, then we're going to be then working on the strength part of the program. And so in the strength program now, we're adding a little more weight. We're going to decrease the amount of repetitions. We're going to do probably about 2 to 3 sets of each exercise. And then we're going to go into the final phase, which is power. And then power, as I said earlier, now these exercises, some of these exercises are going to have some speed incorporated with it. So when you are actually moving the weight, when you feel like the muscles are contracting, I'm going to make that person actually pull it faster than when they move out the, move out. So let's say the bicep curl. they're going on the up phase, they're going to go quicker than on the down phase.
Great. Well, we're going to leave it right there for just right now. We're going to come back and continue our talk about power and lifting. We do have Mike Staggard, Senior Director at St. Luke's Fitness and Sports Performance Center. We'll be right back after a short break.
Thank you to the members of WDIY for making all the programming you hear possible. Becoming a WDIY member is the best way to support your listening and to ensure WDIY will be here for the next person in our community to discover. Make your membership gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 4 or wdiy.org. We couldn't be here without you.
And welcome back to Active Lehigh Valley. Our aim is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host, Mike Drabenstadt, and I'm here with Mike Staggard, Senior Director at St. Luke's Fitness and Sports Performance Center, talking about staying fit as we age into our 50s, 60s, and 70s. And Mike was just talking a little bit about building power in addition to building strength and some of the exercises and programs that we might be looking at to get to that point.
Right. So the most important thing is you want to set out some goals. And the other thing is, and we had talked about this, is proper technique. I can't express how important it is that you do the exercises correctly. Because if you don't, you're going to injure yourself. And actually, I didn't mention this, but, you know, when I was a kid and I was strength training, when I first started getting into it, I was thinking it was ninth grade. I wasn't properly trained, and I am paying the price today because I have severe arthritis in my lower back. So it's really, really important that when you do these programs, you know, you're either taught, you know, the right technique at a gym or, you know, you are online. It's really important to focus on that technique. Really, really important. The other thing that's really important about your training program and the foundations, the hypertrophy, strength, and power, is that you want to change your programs, you know, usually around every 3 months, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. Everybody's a little bit different. Typically, when I train my people, I usually do it on a three-month basis. So my foundations phase typically will last anywhere from 3 to 6 months, again, depending upon the individual. If someone goes away, we have some people that go to Florida for 6 months and they come back, I'll put them back on the foundations phase to get them kind of reacquainted if they had not been doing anything while they were away. But once they've done that foundations phase, we kind of put that away and we'll maintain that routine of hypertrophy, strength, and power. And I kind of go through that every 3 months. They'll get a new program with a hypertrophy phase, a strength phase, and then a power phase. And we're finding that that gives the best results as far as, you know, maintaining strength or even increasing your strength.
And we're talking about these phases in terms of resistance training or strength training or power training. The same tenets hold true for cardiovascular training as well, correct?
Yeah, it's very important.
Whether you're on walking, running, biking, rowing, whatever it is.
Right. Again, the most important thing is you find something you enjoy. Because it, you know, you see some people come to the gym and they, you know, they do something, maybe they go on a bike and they hate it. Typically, they'll stop coming. So you really want to, you know, find that activity that you enjoy. One of the things that we had done in cardiac rehab is we did kind of a cross training program. So, you know, that you weren't on one piece of equipment all the time. So maybe you're just your average person likes to exercise. Maybe you do 10 minutes on the treadmill, you go on the recumbent bike for 10 minutes, and maybe you go on the elliptical for 10 minutes. Again, if you haven't been exercising, you're not going to be able to do 10 minutes on an elliptical, possibly. You know, I have people that can last 1, 2, 3 minutes. You need to build yourself up if you're just beginning your program.
Well, I think some of it is the resistance to working out or training, as
right.
opposed to finding that activity that you really enjoy. It could be walking. I know there are people that do fitness tennis, where
right.
you know, you're not necessarily sitting down between sets and everything like that. You're out there for 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes at a time, kind of going back and forth, getting that heart rate up
right.
before you take a little bit of a break. Or you even have some in our neighborhood that does ballroom dancing with aerobic
yeah.
benefits as well.
Yes.
So I think part of it is kind of getting out of the mindset, hey, I've never been an athlete. I don't need to train. And it's finding that activity where you can still get the same benefits
exactly.
without thinking that I'm working out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people love to row. They love canoeing. I mean, it could be hiking. You know, one of my former managers loves hiking. I would say you mentioned walking, you know, and I alluded to this before about changing your program. you know, if you go out for a walk every day at the same speed and you're doing the same trail, you're not going to make gains. So it's really important to kind of change it up a little bit. So maybe you change your route, you go up a little bit of a hill, maybe you increase the speed of your walk for 5 minutes and then you decrease it. So you're putting little intervals in there. But whatever you do, yeah, you need to really find something you really like. You love running. I know, Mike, you love running. You know, keep up with that running.
Well, and I'd urge our listeners, if you're interested in the walking, to go back a couple months. We had Michelle Stanton on talking about walking and talking about things like, you know, going out and doing intervals and just picking up your pace for 3 or 4 minutes, or finding some hills.
Right.
And doing that as well as a way to mix things up and kind of get some of those cardiovascular benefits in addition to burning the calories that you're burning just on a normal walk pace.
The other thing that you can do, and I've done this actually on my mountain bike, I would go to the park. And so I would race around the park one time, and then I would jump off my bike and then I'd do 10 squats. I'd race around, I would do 10 jumping jacks. So I would kind of make it more of like a metabolic workout, circuit workout, to kind of change up the same routine of just, you know, kind of going out for a 10-mile, you know, bike ride. So you can do those kinds of things too. I mean, there was a big boulder in our park and I would do, you know, step offs. I would jump up on the rocks, so on and so forth. So again, you just kind of make it fun, challenging, kind of trick yourself in doing fitness.
Well, and if you find something and truly enjoy it, it's not really working out.
Exactly.
It becomes a leisure activity.
Correct.
What things can we look at in terms of improving our flexibility? That's one of the first things we started with, is the ligaments and the, not so much the ligaments, but the tendons and the muscles and everything aren't as pliable. What can we do to keep them a little more supple?
So before I get into that, let's kind of go over the warm-up of your exercise. So it's really important that before you do anything, that you're kind of doing a slow, gradual warm-up. So if you're starting on the cardio or the treadmill, you should be starting at a low level. You know, a lot of times I'll see people, they get to the gym, they throw it on 7 miles an hour. I'm like, holy cow. So you always want to gradually warm up. Now, if you're getting into maybe your weight training, you know, and you're not doing that cardiovascular, then you want to probably do more of a dynamic stretch. And by that, what I mean is you're actually moving your body. So you might be doing some knee hug lunges and you're walking out with that. You might be doing some side steps, so on and so forth. So it's really important to kind of do some type of a warm up before you exercise. People always ask, well, when do I do my flexibility exercises? I typically do mine after our workouts. I know when we were training, when I was younger, they had talked about, you know, stretching prior to exercise, and we would go through some static stretches. That's not what we're saying today. We want you to do that after a light warm-up or at the end of your workouts. And you can do them statically to help improve, you know, that flexibility. The other thing is it's got to be methodical. You don't want to hold a stretch for like 2 seconds. You really want to hold it for at least 10 seconds, if not longer, especially as you get older, because as I mentioned, those ligaments, those tendons are getting tighter and it takes longer to stretch them out. So typically for that age group, I usually do at least 30 seconds of a stretch to help improve that flexibility.
And you're right, most of us that are in our 50s, 60s, and 70s, we're used to the static stretch before we work out, and you hold it for 5 seconds and move on to the next thing. And we've learned a little bit over time, and our bodies are different too. I mean, if you learned that when you were in high school, varsity basketball or something like that, your body's a little bit different now.
A lot different. I can attest to that. I just had surgery.
That's right. How about finally in terms of balance and kind of coordination as well? I would think some of that comes naturally if you're moving a little bit more, but I would also think there are specific things you can do to improve that balance and improve your coordination and be very intentional.
Yeah, so, you know, if we were to break everything down, there's really some components that you have to think about when you're working out. And they can be all incorporated so that you're doing them together. One we talked about is cardiovascular exercise, you know, strength training, you want to do flexibility, but the other part of it is balance. So when I'm designing a routine, I'm designing not only, you know, strength and power, but I'm trying to also incorporate some balance activities into that routine. You know, and that can be simple as, you know, like I had mentioned before, you know, doing a single leg, you know, balance. So I also run a mobility and strength class, and, you know, these are for seniors, And the way we start it is I'll have them have two hands on the back of the chair, and then we'll just have them lift their left leg up, and we hold it for about 30 seconds. And as they get stronger, then we'll go to one hand, we'll go to two fingers, we'll go to one finger, and then we have them with no hands, you know, bouncing on that one leg. That's one way of doing it. But there's also other modalities out there that you can use. We have something at our fitness centers. They're called BOSU balls, a BOSU ball both sides up. They're cushiony, and we can have them stand on there and do some squats. We have them do what we call a single RDL. It's a Romanian deadlift, where they're actually lifting that back leg up, and they're doing a deadlift to improve the strength in their left or right hamstring, but you're also balancing on one leg. So it's really important that, again, that you include some type of balance activities into that routine.
So I think people that maybe haven't been as active as they think they should have been, or someone looking to pick this up after years or re-pick it up again, sometimes that can look kind of daunting if you haven't done it, especially if you have some aches and pains and you aren't able to move the way you moved before when you were younger. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some of the systems and structures that we can put in place to help people overcome some of that reluctance. And I think you mentioned having some sort of coaching or instruction could be helpful.
Correct. So yeah, I mean, we have, I mean, at our fitness centers at St. Luke's, I think it's one of the best programs in the Valley. We just started, it's called our Thrive program, and our physicians, our rehab centers, weight management, physical therapy, they refer their patients to us. So, you know, we're fitness, but we're also healthcare. And if you think about healthcare, you know, they're diagnosed, they're treated, and then they go to rehab. Well, we're the last connection. We're the last piece of that pie. We're prevention. And so when they come in, our Thrive program, they've gone through the rehab, whether it be PT or weight management or so on, and then our exercise specialists sit down with them, and then they assess them as well for their fitness program. They come in, you know, they get assessed, they get a program design specifically to their needs, and then they will then get a exercise program.
Great. And also friends and family being supportive?
Oh, yes, definitely. One of the greatest things that I've seen over my career is, we were just talking about this, one of my members had lost a wife, and actually not only family, the fitness centers are family. You know, they have been so supportive of all of the members, and it's really a community at our fitness centers.
Great. And Mike, then a final question. If someone's hearing this program and saying, this is really kind of what I needed to start motivating myself and getting out there, what should some of those first steps be? I think you mentioned before, just a quick visit to your primary care physician.
Correct. I think that would be your first step. Talk to him, let him know that you're interested, make sure it's safe to begin. And it's just as simple as making sure you have a good pair of sneakers. And don't forget your good socks, too, because it's really important to have socks, a good pair of socks. Go out, start maybe 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, 10 minutes in the, you know, the evening. You know, if you want to get into the strength training, you know, you can start out with maybe 8 simple exercises, get a bottle of water, or if you have some small dumbbells, and just, you know, just start nice and slow and progressively increase.
Great. Mike, thanks for joining us here at WDIY and sharing your advice and counsel for staying fit into our 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate being here.
I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is Active Lehigh Valley.